Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life. I'm Steve Klein. It's great to have you listening to our program today. Hope that everything is getting off to a good start for you this morning, and that you're looking forward to getting out and worshiping the God of Heaven today. We invite you to do that with us at Eastside. We meet this morning at 9 o'clock at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. We meet at 9 for a Bible study and a worship assembly. We'll be honoring the God of Heaven. We'll be remembering His Son, Jesus Christ. And we want you to come and be with us to do those things. And it's a very uplifting experience. We'd love for you to be with us this morning at 9 o'clock. If you cannot come out in person, check us out online. Our services are live streamed. You can go to our Facebook page, Eastside Church of Christ in Athens, or look at our website, eastside-church.org, eastside-church.org. You can go there, click on the media tab and the live streaming. But again, we'd love for you to come out and be with us in person this morning as we worship God and study His Word together. But here on the program this morning, I'd like to begin by pointing us to a passage in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, where the Apostle Peter tells us to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Peter's warning us that the devil is out to get us. He's like a roaring lion. He's doing everything he can to harm God's people and to keep them from being God's people. So we're supposed to be sober and be vigilant and watch out, because he's like that roaring lion that's seeking whom he may devour. I've been privileged over the last several years to take a number of trips to the continent of Africa, where there are a lot of lions. In fact, in Africa, lions kill about 200 human beings per year. So they're a dangerous apex predator, obviously, and it doesn't matter if you're a human being or not. They don't care. They'll attack you and kill you if they can. That's how the good Lord made them, as these very strong, fearsome predators. The devil is like that. It's really frightening to think about him having some of the attributes of a lion. In the year 1898, the construction of the Kenya-Uganda Railway was hindered and almost halted by two man-eating lions. The lions are known to history as the Tsavo lions, and they killed and partially ate, at least, well over 30 and maybe over 100 of the workers that were working on the rail. So the story is legendary. It was made into a movie. The lions were finally shot by a hunter, and they were mounted by a taxidermist. And you can actually see them at the Museum of Natural History in Chicago. They're on display there. In any case, lions are dangerous. They're really dangerous. The devil is like a roaring lion. He is seeking prey. He wants to take you and I out spiritually. The word seeking, as it's used there in 1 Peter chapter 5, comes from a word in the Greek language that implies that the seeker is craving something. He wants it, and he wants it badly. Satan knows about craving. He's after us. He craves us. He wants to get us. And once we're in his clutches, he will not willingly release us. It's a dangerous thing to be in the clutches of Satan, obviously, and to be his prey. So what do we need to do? Well, what did Peter say? Be vigilant. We need to understand how he is after us. One of the ways that Satan is trying to get at us, and a lot of people don't understand this, is by teaching false doctrine and religious error. In the world today, in the religious world today, so many folks just believe that anything you want to do religiously is good and God's going to accept it, and there are lots of different ways to get to heaven, and whatever you want to believe and do is just fine. That's the devil's lie. The devil wants you to think that whatever you choose to believe is okay with God. That is simply not the case. The Bible warns us repeatedly that there is only one true doctrine, and Satan's false doctrines are the things that lead us astray and put us in danger of being in his clutches. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul says that the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Here are Satan's workers, his demons, and they're coming up with doctrines. The word doctrine means a teaching. These are obviously false teachings. People depart from the faith because they're listening to false teaching. Do we understand that? How important is it for us to know the truth of God's Word and to to stay true to the teaching that we find in Scripture and not be led astray into the doctrines of demons. Back in the Old Testament, there was a problem with God's people being deceived in the same way by false doctrines that came from their religious leaders. I know people today, as people back then, they want to trust their preachers, they want to trust their religious leaders, but many times religious leaders, preachers, can be mistaken. We need to look past what they're saying and look at God's Word. Consider what they're saying, maybe I should say, in light of God's Word. Look at Ezekiel chapter 22, back in the Old Testament. In verse 25, the prophet Ezekiel talks about the conspiracy of her prophets in her midst is like a roaring lion tearing the prey. So he's comparing the prophets to being like a roaring lion, because he says they have devoured the people, they have taken treasure and precious things, they have made many widows in their midst, and her priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and the unholy, nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and the clean. They have hidden their eyes from my Sabbath, so that I am profaned among them. The prophets back in Ezekiel's day, they were responsible for leading people away spiritually, for not leading them in the right ways, for saying that wrong was right and right was wrong. They couldn't distinguish between things that were holy and things that were unholy. And so people were confused, and they were led into religious error. They followed their priests and their prophets, the religious leaders of the day, into religious error. And that's how they were destroyed spiritually. Satan uses those same tactics again still today. He catches people with false doctrine and religious error. He catches people with worldly lusts and pride. You know, John writes in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, telling us, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." Worldliness and the things of the world will lead us astray from God. But Satan uses the things of the world to get a hold of us. John writes about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Satan has used those things from the very beginning to try to get a hold of human beings as this roaring lion who's trying to devour us. Go all the way back to the beginning, to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve are told not to eat of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The serpent tempts her. She looks at the forbidden fruit. And in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, it says that the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. She was tempted by the very things we're tempted by today. She saw that it was good for food, so there's the lust of the flesh. She saw that it was pleasant to the eyes. There's the lust of the eyes, the desire of the eyes. She saw that it would make her wise, and there's the pride of life. She wanted to be wise and know the difference between good and evil like God did. That was what she was tempted to do. And so she took of the fruit, and she ate it, and she gave it to her husband, and he ate as well. Satan got a hold of them. Satan tempted Eve with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Same way he's tempting you and I today, to get us to look at things that are pleasurable to us, to experience fleshly things that are pleasurable to us, to be lifted up in pride, and more concerned with our status before others than with our status before God. When we go on in the Old Testament, we come to a story that we mentioned just not too long ago here on the radio program. The story of David and Bathsheba. Again, you have Satan getting a hold of one of God's people through lust. David is king of Israel. It says in 2 Samuel chapter 11 that one evening, verse 2, 2 Samuel 11, one evening David rose from his bed, walked on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. David said and inquired about the woman. Someone said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity. She returned to her house, and the woman conceived. She sent and told David, and said, "I am with child." So here, David commits adultery with this woman. How does that start? Well, it starts by him lusting after her. He sees her. She's beautiful. He sins for her. They conceive a child. And then from that point, he winds up killing her husband, hiding the whole thing and pretending like nothing happened. Of course, it was a terrible sin, a sin which he repented of. But here, Satan had got a hold of him. Just even though he was a great king and a good man and a great servant of God, Satan got a hold of him through lust. If Satan can do that to David, he could do that to anybody. That's how Satan tries to get us. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. When we turn over to the New Testament, there's a story that's found in Acts chapter 5, where you have a married couple, Ananias and Sapphira, who want material things, but also want a reputation for being charitable people. There were a lot of Christians in the church in that day and time who were willing to sell lands and property and bring the money and give it to the apostles, and the apostles would distribute it to the poor people who were needy in the church there in Jerusalem. Ananias and Sapphira saw that happening. They saw what praise people were getting for doing this, and I think they must have wanted the praise, but they didn't want to have to give up all their money. So they sold a piece of property. They only brought some of the money, and they gave it to the apostles. They pretended like it was all of it. They kept back some of the money, but they wanted that glory. So both pride and covetousness were involved in their sin. When Peter talks to Ananias about his sin, he says to him, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself?" Satan had filled Ananias' heart. You see that? Satan is the one who, through the pride and lust in the heart of Ananias, got a hold of Ananias and destroyed him spiritually. That's what Satan does. That's what he's good at. So what do we need to do? We need to be vigilant. We need to watch out. We need to understand that religious error is dangerous. We need to understand that worldly lust is dangerous, that pride will destroy our souls. Satan is going to use all of those things to try to get at us. Be aware. Be awake. Defend yourself against those things. Resist Satan. That's what Peter says to do back in our text in 1 Peter chapter 5. Resist him. In James chapter 4 and verse 7, James says, "Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." We must be aware of what Satan's trying to do to us and resist him. The Word of God is our offensive weapon against Satan. You know, if you were ever attacked by a lion in Africa, and I saw some there just this last year, back in July of this year, I was thankfully in a truck, and they were 50 yards from us. I would hate to think about being attacked by a lion if you didn't have a weapon in your hand, especially. But we have, as God's children, we have a weapon in our hand that we can defend ourselves with, and it is the weapon of God's Word, which is the sword of the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, we're told to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When Jesus was confronted by Satan in Matthew chapter 4, you know, Jesus had been in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights and had nothing to eat, and Satan came to him and tempted him. He tempts him in three ways, really in the same kinds of ways that he tempted Eve, that he tempts us today. Tempts him through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride. Jesus is very hungry when Satan comes to him, and he says, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. He's tempting Jesus to misuse his miraculous abilities. But Jesus answered him, and he says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Here's a critical answer that Jesus gives to Satan, and it's a quote from Scripture. It's a quote from the book of Deuteronomy. Jesus knows what the Scripture says, and he quotes it to Satan. You don't need to live by bread alone. You need to live by the words that come out of the mouth of God. That's so true for us today. What we need to do when we're tempted by Satan is turn to the Word of God. In order to do that, of course, we need to know the Word of God. Do you know the Word of God this morning? Are you familiar with what the Bible says? Do you know Scripture that says to you, you know, what the difference between right and wrong is, what it is you're supposed to be doing and not doing, how to please God and serve Him? Do you know what the Scriptures say about those things? It's really important that you do. Otherwise, Satan's going to try to get you to do something that you shouldn't do, that's against God's will, but you won't know it. Jesus knew this was wrong, of course, and he knew what to say to Satan about it. We need to be paying attention to the Word of God. What's one of the things that we try to do at Eastside is to really focus on just teaching the Word of God from the oldest of our members to the youngest children that come and engage with us in Bible study and worship. We want folks to know what the Word of God actually says. And we spend a lot of time looking directly into the Word of God to see what he says. That's what Jesus uses to fend off the attack of Satan. A little bit later in this context, of course, in Matthew chapter 4, Satan tempts Jesus again. He took him up to the holy city in verse 5 of Matthew chapter 4, and he sets Jesus on the pinnacle of the temple, and he says, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. It is written, he shall give his angels charge over you." Satan also knows Scripture. He quotes it to Jesus. He says, "Look, you're supposed to be the Son of God. The angels are supposed to take care of you according to Scripture. Just throw yourself down from here and see if they will." But Jesus knows Scripture better than Satan. Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." You don't want to try God. You don't want to just see what God's going to do and test him in this way. Scripture says not to do that. Jesus knew that. And so he's better at using Scripture than Satan is. Again, in verse 8, the devil takes Jesus up on a very high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." And again, Jesus responds with Scripture. He says, "Away with you, Satan. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Jesus knows what is written. He knows how to defend himself against Satan by using that sword of the Word of God. We must today know the Word of God. So we encourage you to spend time digging into God's Word. As I said, at Eastside, we love studying God's Word together. We spend a lot of time doing that. We offer correspondence courses if you're interested in a deeper study of God's Word. We have several correspondence courses that are available on our website. You can go to eastside-church.org, click on the Study from Home banner, and you can sign up for a course that covers the Gospel of Mark or one that covers the book of Acts. We have another one called Jesus the Way that just 7 lessons that tells you about who Jesus is and how he can save you. We have another course that's an overview of the entirety of the Bible. It's the Bible narrative course. Any of these courses are available. You can take them online or take them through the regular mail and dig deep into God's Word. We invite you to do that. These courses are completely free, and you will truly benefit from their content. They will help you grow in your knowledge of God's Word, which you need in order to defend yourself against Satan, this roaring lion that is seeking to devour us. Of course, Satan uses people and other things in this world to try to get at us as well. And let's spend a little bit of time looking at how he tries to accomplish that, as long as we're being vigilant and watching out for this lion that's after us. Satan will use wicked people to try to get at us, to destroy us in one way or another. They seek to oppress and harm those who are godly and those who are poor. The Bible talks a lot about that. Psalm 15 and verse 4, the psalmist says, "Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call on the Lord?" This idea of, like a lion, they're eating people, right? They're people eaters, as lions are, and as Satan is. In Psalm 56 and verse 1, the psalmist is pleading with God, "Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up." There are people who are like Satan that would just eat us up like Satan would and destroy us in any way that they could. They might seek to steal your possessions by fraud or by violence. We have a lot of that going on in the world today, don't we? Well, those are people that are doing Satan's bidding when they're trying to hurt you and harm you, even in some physical way, and get at you. They are doing Satan's bidding. Back in the book of Proverbs in chapter 1 and verse 10, there the wise man says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, 'Come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood, let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. We will find all kinds of precious possessions. We will fill our houses with spoil.'" Here are people who are out to get us, eat us up as Satan would, swallow us, as the text says, swallow us whole. There are people who are out there who are violent, who seek your possessions, and these are doing the bidding of Satan. They're described in Proverbs 30 and verse 14 as a generation whose teeth are like swords and whose fangs are like knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. Notice that the descriptive language here is much like that of a lion attack. These people have teeth that are like swords and fangs that are like knives. Indeed, lions have those very sharp teeth, and they devour the poor. It's often the case that the poorest among us become victims of those who are lusting for money, seeking for personal gain. And it's sad to see the poor, the elderly, being victimized by scam artists, by people who would break in and take things from them. Yet we see that constantly in our society and frankly around the world. All of those who are doing these kinds of things are servants of Satan. He's doing all that he can do to make our lives miserable on earth, and especially miserable in the world to come. Of course, the irony is that Satan's servants, the wicked people that he is using to attack others in this way, to try to make our lives miserable, the irony is that they themselves will be most miserable. James, in his epistle in chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, describes those whose gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You've heaped up treasure, he says, in the last days, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud. They cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. God will repay those who do such things in judgment. The wise man in Proverbs 22 and verse 16 says that he who oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he who gives to the rich will surely come to poverty. And that there will be misery for those who Satan uses to cause misery for others. That's the lesson there. So there are those who steal and commit fraud and violence to make others' lives miserable, to eat them up, and they're just working for Satan in doing that. There are, as we've talked about already, uncaring and unfaithful spiritual leaders who cause great pain in the lives of others. These individuals are being used by Satan, like lions, to tear people up. Micah chapter 3 and verse 1, "Hear now, you heads of Jacob, you rulers of the house of Israel. Is it not for you to know justice? You who hate good and love evil, you strip the skin from my people and the flesh from their bones. You also eat the flesh of my people, flay their skin from them, break their bones, and chop them in pieces, like meat for the pot, like flesh in the cauldron." Now, there the prophet Micah is, he's not talking literally. He's talking, though, about how the leaders of Israel back in that day were acting like lions toward the people they were supposed to be caring for and leading into good ways. But no, they weren't doing that. They were just eating them up, destroying their lives, making them miserable. And so it is sometimes with spiritual leaders today. They can really hurt. They're doing the bidding of Satan. I'll tell you something else Satan uses to hurt people today, to really get at us, and that is words. I know we've been told that sticks and stones may break our bones, but words will never hurt us. But words do hurt. Words are very powerful, and they can make people miserable. Think of how the English language sometimes describes the use of hurtful words. Have you ever heard somebody say, "I really chewed him out"? The idea of chewing is pretty expressive there, right? That's what we do when we eat. That's what lions do when they eat. They chew. And so it is, we're eating one another. We're biting and devouring one another. Paul warns in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 15, "If you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." That kind of biting and devouring comes from a lack of love. In fact, Paul in that context tells us that we ought to, through love, serve one another instead of biting and devouring one another and being at odds with one another. We use language to tear people down and to hurt one another, and we're acting like lions when we do that. And when it's done to us, we're being preyed upon as if by lions. People use sarcasm in a very biting way. And the words that I just said there indicate that that's sort of how a lion acts. Sarcasm in a biting way. The word sarcasm comes from a Greek etymology. It literally means to tear the flesh. when we are sarcastic in a way that hurts others, it tears the flesh like a lion would in attacking. Satan is very pleased with that. That's right up his alley, right? That's what he wants human beings to do to one another. But the Lord wants us to love one another instead, to love our neighbor as ourselves, and to learn to serve one another through love. That's Paul's precise point in Galatians chapter 5. In verse 13, he had said, "You brethren have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. All the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." Paul wants us, and the Lord wants us, to love and to serve rather than to bite and consume as lions might. In Psalm 52, verses 1 through 4, there's a passage that is really descriptive of how people can use words and harm others in the way that lions might seek to devour others. Listen to the psalmist as he writes, "Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The goodness of God endures continually. Your tongue devises destruction, like a sharp razor working deceitfully. You love evil more than good, lying rather than speaking righteousness. You love all devouring words, you deceitful tongue." So again, we see here that words can be used to devise destruction. They work like a sharp razor. They devour. You know, words can be really, really painful. Words are really, really powerful. And we need to be careful how we use them, and we need to be aware that Satan will use them to get at us, to hurt us, through those who are doing his bidding. They will speak words to us that will tear us up, and we need to be on guard against that. Let's be on guard against those things that can tear us up. Protection against those kinds of things is found in trusting God and in following his ways, his mercy, and his truth. In the 57th Psalm, in verse 2, "I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth." See, God sends mercy and truth, and if we will love him and respond to him in his mercy and truth, he will help us overcome Satan and all that Satan is trying to do to us. When we go back to 1 Peter chapter 5, that is exactly Peter's point. As he says again in verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." So that's what we've been talking about this whole lesson. But listen to the next verse. "But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever." Let God have control of your life. Respond to his grace. Allow him to help you through Satan's attacks. Trust him and his word. And if you'll do that, he will establish, strengthen, and settle you. We're under attack. We're being stalked by a ferocious lion. What a horrible fate it would be to be in the clutches of a lion. What Peter is telling us in 1 Peter 5 is to avoid it at all costs. Be aware that Satan is after you, and be aware of how he's trying to get you, and resist him. Resist him with all your might and strength. Call on God to help you so that you may walk the way that leads to life.